Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 5, Chapter 19, The Island of Jambudvip, Text 19. It is a prose text, so I'll just read the Sanskrit myself, and then I'll read the translation. Asmineva varshe purushayar labda janmabhi shukla loita krishna varnena swarabdena karmana divyu manusha naraka gatayo bhavya atmana anapurvyena sarva hyeva sarvesham vidyante Yata varna vidanam apavargas chapi bhavati. The translation and purport by His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada. Translation. The people who take birth in this tract of land are divided according to the qualities of material nature, the modes of goodness, sattva-guna, passion, raja-guna, and ignorance, tamaguna. Some of them are born as exalted personalities, some are ordinary human beings, and some are extremely abominable. For in Bharatavarsha, one takes birth exactly according to one's past karma. If one's position is ascertained by a bona fide spiritual master, and one is properly trained to engage in the service of the Lord, of Lord Vishnu according to the four social divisions, Brahmana, Kshatriya, Vaishya, and Sudra, and the four spiritual divisions, Brahmachari, Grihastha, Vanaprast, and Sannyas, one's life becomes perfect. Purport. For further information, one should refer to Bhagavad Gita, chapter 14, text 18, and chapter 18, text 42 to 45. So 14:18 is Urdvam gacchanti sattvasto madhyam tishtanti rajasaha jaganya gunivritishta aro gacchanti tamasaha. And that means those in the mode of goodness go upward, those in the mode of passion remain on this in the body of human beings, or and then those in the mode of ignorance, they go downward in the social cycle. So, and then the other texts from chapter 18 are the verses that describe the qualities of the different varnas in the different modes of nature. Shamo, Damo, Tapasau, Cham, Santar, Arjapam, Eva, Cha, Gyanaviganam, Astikyam, Brahma, Karma, Svabhava, Cham. So the Brahmanas, they are meant for sense control, peacefulness, honesty, religious principles, etc. And then the Kshatriyas, they're meant for heroism, chivalry, and the Vaishyas. Krishigoraksha Vanijam, Vaishya Karma Svabhavajam. The Vaishyas, they're in the mode of mixed modes of passion and ignorance, and their activities are intended to be protection of cows, agriculture, and trade. And Paryacharya Yatmikam, Sudras Yapi Svabhavajam. The Sudras are meant for, they're in the mode of ignorance, and they're meant for serving the other Varnas. So that's what's being referred to in those verses. Now to continue the purport, Srila Ramanujacharya writes in his book Vedanta Sangraha, and Srila Prabhupada gives a long quote from Ramanujacharya without translating it. but it's obvious it has something to do with the Varna Ashram system, and there are some quotes. Ramanujacharya is quoting from different texts, like Swakarma Niratas Siddhim Yata Vinditi Tat Shrinu Yat Pravitar Bhutanam Yena Sarvamidam Tatam Swakarmana Tvam Abhyarchya Siddhim Vindati Manava. And these are quotes from Srimad Bhagavatam about the Varnashram system. So, continuing the purport, quoting from the Vishnu Purana 389, the great sage Parashara Muni has recommended Varnashrama Charvata Purushena Parapman Vishnura Radyate Panta Nanyat Tat Toshikaranam. And quote, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Lord Vishnu, is worshipped by the proper execution of prescribed duties in the system of Varna and Ashrama. There is no other way to satisfy the Lord. End quote. So in the land of Bharatavarsha, the institution of Varnashrama Dharma may be easily adopted. At the present moment, certain demoniac sections of the population of Bharatavarsha are disregarding the system of Varnashram Dharma. Because there is no institution to teach people how to become Brahmanas, Kshatriyas, Vaishyas, and Sudras, or Brahmacharis, Grihastas, Vanaprastas, and Sannyasis, these demons want a classless society. This is resulting in chaotic conditions. In the name of secular government, unqualified people are taking the supreme governmental post. No one is being trained to act according to the principles of Varnashram Dharma, and thus people are becoming increasingly degraded and are heading in the direction of animal life. The real aim of life is liberation. But unfortunately, the opportunity for liberation is being denied to people in general, and therefore their human lives are being spoiled. The Krishna consciousness movement, however, is being propagated all over the world to reestablish the Varnashram Dharma system and thus save human society from gliding down to hellish life. Om Gyan Tamandasya Gananjana Shalakaya Chakshra Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shri Vasudhi Gaur Bhaktivinoda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. So here in this purport, Srila Prabhupada is being very heavy in his evaluation of the governmental leaders in India, and he's criticizing them very harshly for trying to establish a classless society in the name of secular government and ignoring the system of Varna and Ashrama. Of course, it's a little, if we look at all of Srila Prabhupada's statements about, you know, Varna Ashram Dharma, it can be a little perplexing, because in some places he appears to say it's not possible to establish Varnashram Dharma in this age. And then in other places he's saying it should be established and it's our purpose to do it. I mean, for example, on the other side of the question, and, you know, purport to Srimad Bhagavatam 1.1.11, he says, the Varna and Ashram society was considered to be the best institution for lifting the human being to the spiritual platform. But due to Kali Yuga, it is not possible to execute the rules and regulations of these institutions. And in his purport to Srimad Bhagavatam 2.4.18, Prabhupada said, the system of caste or Vanashram Dharma is no longer regular even amongst the so-called followers of the system, nor is it now possible to reestablish the institutional functions in the present context of social, political, and economic revolution. So, in some cases, Srila Prabhupada appears to be saying it's not possible to reestablish it, and here he's saying it should be reestablished. So given that that's what the purport today is about, that's you know, what we can talk about. In one sense, we could say the system of varnas and ashramas is natural. You can't avoid it, because in every society you have social divisions of labor that correspond to the varnas, you know, the brahmanas, kshatriyas, vaishyas, and sudras. You know, the brahmanas are the intellectual class, and in every society there's some intellectual class, like in even the Western secular societies, they have their university professors and scientists and philosophers who are proposing to give some intellectual guidance to society. You know, for example, they're having this big crisis in the Gulf of Mexico, and you know, the President Obama, he's addressed the country and says, yes, I'm calling together all the leading scientists to advise me what to do. So they have, even in the modern secular society, you know, they have their equivalent of some Brahmin caste. And, you know, they also have some administrators, some government people, military people, police, who are meant to establish law and order and administer the society. So they have their equivalent of some kshatriya class. And they also have some equivalent of, you know, vaishya class. There are people who are focusing on economic development, trade, agriculture, business, banking. And they also have some equivalent of the sudra or laboring class. They're different trade unions, labor unions, ordinary workers, people like that. So this is found all over the world, you know, that there is some natural division of society into, you know, these different categories of work, which more or less correspond in some way to the system of varnas, you know, the occupational divisions and the varnashram dharma system. And, you know, there's also some correspondence to the ashramas. You know, just naturally there's some basis for it, because by nature's arrangement, children up to a certain age, they aren't sexually active. You know, they're brahmacharis or brahmacharinis just by nature's arrangement up to a certain age. And then by nature's arrangement at a certain age, the sexes become interested in each other, and there's marriage and children, family. So there's some grihastha ashrama, and at a certain age, by nature's arrangement, it's no longer possible for the woman to have children. It's no longer possible for the man, when he gets older, to work as hard as that he did. So there's some arrangement for a retired life. You know, retiring from having children and working so hard to maintain a family. That's their by nature's arrangement. And by nature, so there's some natural arrangement for a vanaprastha ashrama, retired life. And then also, there's also by nature's arrangement sannyas, because death comes for everyone. Usually the husband and wife don't die at the same time. One is, so there's renunciation is also there by, you know, some sannyas, giving up everything is also there by nature's arrangement. But the difference in Vedic civilization is that these things were consciously understood. You know, in this Western society, in modern society, secular society, these things are there actually in some perverted form or seed form, but they're not understood and they're not actually recognized, and nobody's really consciously trying to arrange society in that way. So it's just stumbling along in its own way. In Vedic civilization, there was some conscious recognition of this system of varnas and ashramas, and society was deliberately arranged in that way. Now, even according to the Vedic system, there are two ways in which to understand the varnas and ashramas. One is according to, you know, the karma kanda system, where you just understand, yes, this is a very efficient way of getting material sense gratification. You know, you organize society according to varnas and ashramas without understanding the real purpose behind it. The real purpose is to develop pure love for Krishna, to go back home, back to Godhead. So a Varnashram society that's organized with that in mind is called a Daiva Varnashram society, where all the Varnas and Ashramas are organized in such a way as to allow people to increase their Krishna consciousness. Now, it may be possible to organize things according to Varnas and Ashramas so that people just get caught up in the material responsibilities that are related to the stages of life and the different occupational systems. So that may result in a better organized society than just an ordinary secular society that isn't organized along those principles, but it's not the highest thing. The highest thing is not simply to live according to a varna and an ashrama. We're beyond all that, ultimately. The Lord Chaitanya said, you know, I'm not a brahmana, I'm not a kshatriya, I'm not a vaishya, I'm not a sudra, I'm not a brahmacharya, grihasta, or vanaprastha, or sannyasi, gopi, bhakta, padakamali, or das, das, anudas. I'm a servant of a servant of a servant of the gopis who are serving Krishna in love and devotion. So that's ultimately our position. You know, varna and ashrama has to do with the body, but ultimately we're not concerned with the body. We're concerned with the soul. And the soul is jivaras rupahoy krishnara nitya das. So we may be accepting some of the rules and regulations related to the varnas and ashramas to the extent that they help us in our development of Krishna consciousness on the spiritual platform that, you know, may be there. But we're not meant to just get absorbed in all the rules and regulations of varnas and ashramas to the extent that we forget our real purpose of life, which is to develop Krishna consciousness ourselves and spread Krishna consciousness to others as part of Lord Chaitanya's Sankirtan movement. So we can see Lord Chaitanya himself, he had a position in the system of varnas and ashramas. He appeared in a Brahmin family, and he was a grihastha for some time, and then he took sannyas. But ultimately, he's beyond all that. And his main purpose was to spread his Sankirtan movement. And whatever helped that, then he observed. And our acharyas, like Bhaktivinoda Thakur or Jiva Goswami, they've also said we may adopt some of the rules and regulations of the varnas and the ashramas to the extent that they help develop, you know, prema, bhakti, pure love for God in the context of our Sankirtan movement. Because it's not really possible to fully revive, you know, the whole system of varnas and ashramas as it existed in previous ages. There are several places where Srila Prabhupada says that. So I would take it that when Srila Prabhupada says, yes, we should, to reestablish the Varnashram Dharma system means to establish it, the parts of it that are helpful for engaging people in the Sankirtan movement. Like, you know, Srila Prabhupada, he was following the system of varnas and ashramas throughout his life, but his main purpose was to become Krishna conscious. His main purpose was to serve the order of his spiritual master. So, you know, the systems and of varnas and ashramas may help us regulate our lives and regulate our social dealings in such a way that it helps us follow the rules and regulations of devotional service and keep ourselves fit for our main business of spreading the Sankirtan movement, chanting the holy name, distributing transcendental literature, holding festivals. This is, you know, the main business to in this age of Kali. Hara nama vikevalam kalanasdevanasdevanasdeva gatiranyata. In this age of Kali, this is the main process of self-realization. But in terms of our own society and society at large, institution of some of the principles of varna and ashrama can help people begin to lead regulated lives and begin to focus on the main spiritual essence of life. Whereas today, because of lack of understanding these things, people are so distracted and unregulated that it's very difficult for them to see how they could arrange their lives in such a way that they can put spiritual life in the center of it. And therefore, Srila Prabhupada's criticizing, you know, the government, you know, that he's talking about here. Because actually, the main way to judge the success of a government is how many of its citizens go back home, back to Godhead. This is the real judge. You know, he says, the real aim of life is liberation. But unfortunately, the opportunity for liberation is being denied to people. And therefore, their human lives are being spoiled. So this is the real success of the government, if it can organize society in such a way that the maximum number of people get liberation from the cycle of birth and death by going back, you know, permanent liberation, by going back home, back to Godhead. That's how you judge the success of a government, not by the gross national product or how big your military is or how big your economy is. That's not the real way to judge the success of a government. The real way to judge the success of a government is how many souls is it sending back home, back to Godhead. In order to do that, society has to be arranged in a particular way. So Srila Prabhupada is saying here, this should be done. And in terms of our own lives as devotees in our own society, you know, we're not meant to follow every single rule and regulation of the varnas and ashramas. Srila Prabhupada in many places said that's not possible. That's not what we're meant to do. But we can adopt the principles of varna and ashrama to the extent that they help us in our advancement in Krishna consciousness, in our execution, propagation of Lord Chaitanya's Sankirtan movement. So I'll stop there. Any questions or comments? Yes, Prigapati.
Thank you, Paul. So which aspects of the Vanashram system do you think we should try to establish for the outside world? And probably, you know, and for ourselves, because you mentioned that we should try to establish them.
Well, for the outside world, I think it's necessary to explain to them the system of, you know, what the system of varnas and ashramas is. You know, that, and that it's a natural system. It's not just something, some Hindu item of Hindu culture that has no applicability in America or Europe or Africa or South America. I think it's necessary to explain to them that these are natural divisions of society and natural divisions of human life. You know, natural occupational divisions and natural biological divisions in terms of our, you know, development, and that these books, the Srimad Bhagavatam, provide a good resource for understanding that. So, you know, Srila Prabhupada actually said, you know, if you read, you know, the introduction or the preface that he wrote to the Srimad Bhagavatam, that he intended these books to be studied by the leaders of society so that they could understand how to organize their societies in a Krishna conscious way. So there's a lot of instruction in these books, you know, how to do that. And, you know, as far as, you know, our society is concerned, well, Srila Prabhupada gave us many instructions, and, you know, those have to be studied, you know, by the leaders of our society, and, you know, they have to decide how to implement those instructions. You know, I can't do that, you know, myself. That's something for the leaders of our society decide, to carefully study Srila Prabhupada's instructions and see that they're implemented. And of course he did. He introduced, you know, Brahmacharya Ashram, Grihastha Ashram. Didn't say so much about the Vanaprastha Ashram, but also the Sannyasa Ashram. And he did institute Brahminical initiation, and he did talk a lot about different aspects of Varna and Ashrama as they apply to our personal lives. So, something else? Archita?
Somebody wants to know, how can a government practically determine how many souls are going to go back to Godhead?
well, you have to do everything that the Srimad Bhagavatam says will result in souls going back to Godhead. You can certainly tell who's not going back to Godhead. You know, if people are regularly killing the cows and slaughtering them and eating them, they're not going back, you know, to Godhead. If governments are supporting that, they're certainly not helping their citizens go back to Godhead. If governments are promoting all kinds of gambling, that's not helping people go back to Godhead. If governments are promoting the activities that the Vedic literatures say are keeping people from going back to Godhead, then we can certainly understand that those people aren't going back to Godhead. The people who are going back to Godhead are those who are developing pure love for God and who are participating in the propagation of the Sankirtan movement. So we may not be able to count the destination of each specific soul, but from the Vedic literature we can get some general idea of what's going to happen to souls, you know, according to their activities, their practical activities. Okay, timekeepers, is it 8:15 yet? Wrap it up. By my watch, we got 2 more minutes. Okay, one short comment or question, and we will finish sharply at 8:15. Thank you.
Thank you for a very nice class. Srila Prabhupada had great ideals about restructuring society and through Varnashram Dharma. Now, my question is that are we as preachers of this society ready, or do we actually have an audience outside? Because I've seen that other groups, like there's one lady called Guru Amma, when she comes, thousands of people. We have Deepak Chopra, he's going to speak, thousands of people goes. I wonder if one of us or Hare Krishna people goes and present, makes his presentation in spirituality, that many people will come. In which area are we failing not to attract? Is it because we are too orthodox, too fundamentalist in our presentation that is not palatable to them?
Okay, well, just briefly, you know, Srila Prabhupada said if you're selling diamonds, then, you know, the number of people you attract is not going to be so many because diamonds are very expensive. Whereas if you're selling something cheap, then you may attract a lot of people. So Srila Prabhupada wasn't prepared to compromise. And he often said if we can just get a certain percentage, 1%, a couple percent of people to adopt these principles, then that will change the face of the whole human civilization. And of course, we're not just presenting ideas, we're also presenting the holy name, we're presenting prasadam. When we have festivals, thousands of people come. That's actually very purifying for them. In terms of the ideas, if we're not compromising, then initially, at least, not so many people may be attracted. Whereas if you compromise, then you may attract more people, but you're not actually helping them that much. So, Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Want a garland for your people? Did I end on time? According to my watch, it's just quarter. Oh, I can't see it. There's a reflection on it.